Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, and welcome to Ask, where we come together on Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 a.m. Central Standard Time, to pray on the behalf of others. As we always mention, if you have any prayer requests, comments, or concerns, we ask that you forward them to askhim@minister.com. That's A-S-K-H-I-M at minister, M-I-N-I-S-T-E-R. .com, or simply visit us on Facebook at Beauty for Life Founder. Today we will be honored and privileged to receive a word from the Lord from my very own Deacon Darian Ingalls. So once again, we'd like to welcome him to Blog Talk this morning. And I am actually going to go ahead and turn it over to Deacon Darian at this time.
Praise God. Hello and good morning. I am pleased to be here this morning. I'm pleased to be back with you on this very occasion. This morning, I first want to give honor to God, who is the head of my life and the head of my household. And without him, all things don't get accomplished. Without him, I'm nothing, we're nothing, and the bottom line to it is, he is everything. Secondly, I represent the church in Wilmington, Delaware, that is Elam Everlasting Life International Ministries. And I would like to honor also the bishop, Bishop Matthew Washington, and the pastor, Dr. Celeste Washington. I give God thanks for them and what he's doing in them and what he is teaching through them in our lives. Also, I give honor to my lovely wife, Elder Tony, who was just on. I definitely thank God for her. In her, I found a good thing. And without her, I probably would not have the push to be where I am in God today. So I thank her very much. And I thank our very God for the chance to have this audience with you all. And I thank you all for tuning in this morning. This morning, if you could go with me into your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 through 10. I'd like to start there. Also, if you want to have as a reference the first chapter of Job, not necessarily to read anything in particular, but just to have as a reference as I go through a few talking points. I'm very certain that looking at that may be pretty important for someone who may need it. But once again, scripture this morning, as we go through that word, shall come from 1 Peter chapter 5. Verses 6 through 10. And the word of the Lord reads, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." Let there be an added blessing to the reading of God's word. Amen. If I was able to have a topic to this morning's word, message, or discussion, it would be Glory Road. All right, and today I'd like to talk about giving honor to God and through him, the challenges to your humility as you walk with Christ. I'm sure a lot of us receive them on a day-to-day basis. I plan to give personal testimony myself. That is the best way to win someone over or show someone that they can do it, is by witnessing and showing through your personal testimony. That is one of the main weapons that we have in this world today outside of the Word of God, and that is our testimony and witnessing. The one thing I want to point out in this scripture is that it begins with verse 6 saying, humble yourself, humble yourself. Challenges to your humility are going to happen all the time. And trusting and loving Christ is very important. And to show this very thing in our walk is very vital, because when people know you are a servant and you proclaim Christ, it's going to always be under attack. And the enemy is not omnipresent. He's moving about everywhere, and he may not specifically be putting something in your ear and on your mind to work on you. What he can do is put it in somebody else's ear, or have one of his agents working on someone else that is around you to test you. All right? One thing to note in our walk is that we're going to have these obstacles all the way through our lives. And knowing that, we must be prepared, we must speak to the Father about them, and when we encounter them, and we must know that what he gives us, what he's instilled in us, gives us the ability to conquer and overcome all situations. Because, of course, he that is within us is greater than he that is in the world. All right. Now, as we walk through the scripture, and as I said, it starts out with humble yourself, I want to take a look at the word humility from the very beginning. When you look at the word humility, I'd like to quickly define that. That is simply meekness. The word humility is simply meekness. And also, I'd like to point out that it is a modest sense of one's importance. Meekness and knowing that you are important, it just says, you know what? You can bow down your personal thoughts and feelings, especially those that may be aggressive, and you take on the things that are surrounding you with the love of Christ. And at Christ's time, who was one of extreme meekness, that is shown throughout his walk on the earth, especially from the time when he went through the wilderness run all the way through to the very end on the living portion of the earthly life. Once again, humility is meekness, and it is defined as a modest sense of one's importance. I just wanted to put that out there, just because, as we say, and note that Christ encountered many external tests to his walk. His walk for the Father was far more important, and he walked with meekness. He walked with knowing that his purpose, it was very much more important than the things that was happening externally. And what he gave to the Father was just all work. Of course, he was about his Father's business. So, just to put out there the definition as our scripture begins in chapter 5, verse 6, humble yourselves. And, of course, once again, we've defined humility. Now, the one thing I want to share with you is that you must always know that tests are going to happen. You must do your very best to recognize them. And when you are able to recognize them, I urge you never to compromise yourself. You can't compromise yourself, because these very things, as you walk publicly and you announce and you declare Christ in your life, people are going to throw how you walk up into your face. Prime example, which we may get into a little later, is that of the servant Paul, who wrote many books of the New Testament. But the one thing is important. We're going to have these tests and obstacles. We got to do our best to recognize them, and we cannot compromise ourselves. The actions of your walk in humility should always be geared towards blessing the Father, no matter what the test. In Christ's walk, all acts that happen against him never compromise his walk with the Father. And as we follow him, we must do the same. We must walk in a manner that is going to bless God. And walking in a manner that will bless God is going to start out with just what we defined in the very beginning. It's going to be with humility. And knowing that meekness is one of the fruit, I'm sorry, is one of the attributes in the fruit of the Spirit. That's one thing that is very, very healthy for us to do. Because guess what? Victory comes our way. You may not feel it at the moment, but by God's glory, it's going to always come as we move forward, and it's going to be there in the end. Guess what? We don't have to fight any battles. We turn them all over to him. All right? And we can walk boldly in humility, but never to contradict, all right? Never to contradict humility and act in any other way. Because what will happen is you'll be moving into an unattainable manner, and you can develop some sort of a sinful nature if you walk contrary to that. So just to go back, I'm always one to recap because I like for fine points to stick out into our minds. We are talking about this morning the challenges to our humility as we walk with Christ. And looking at our text, it starts out by saying we must humble ourselves. Therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt us in due time. Now, once again, I say, tests are going to happen all through our life. We should never compromise ourselves. And we should walk with an ability to bless the Father. Okay, so Christ started in the wilderness, and he had those tests, of course, by the enemy, who was Lucifer. And as he went forward, he had many tests in his 3 years of ministry prior to the major test of what did he face and how did he respond unto his death. Another person that I like to point out who had a very big walk in humility was the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, of course, we all know, formerly persecuted Christians and followers of Christ, but he had a walk with extreme humility to continue to win souls for Christ. Now, this was so that Paul actually walked and people knew that he was a persecutor. And as he wrote in the book of Galatians, last time I was with you all, I hinted on it, that as he walked, and he was, guess what, a former thug and walked with Peter, and as he walked, people knew who he was. And by the end of knowing him, most who were able to comment on his actions and how he moved, they glorified God in him because he walked with humility, he walked and embraced grace, and his love and passion for God emulated in what he did. And when he moved forward, that went and transgressed to people. So Paul was one of those people, along with Christ, who had many, many, many challenges in his walk. As he walked for Christ, many challenges, and his humility was questioned and challenged so often. But by the fruit of the Spirit, he displayed every attribute, and he walked, and he walked, and he walked, and he won souls, and he won souls, and he won souls. That is some of the greatest examples in the Bible that we can go and gather and fathom and see, because that makes it real for us. So, looking back into our scripture, 1 Peter chapter 5, starting at verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Casting all your care upon him, that as you walk with humility, you got to know that you have a friend in Jesus Christ. And when those challenges come, you should immediately consort to talking in the spirit. Don't talk in the flesh. Talk in the spirit. As these challenges come upon you, I'm not going to tell you not to have the right person in the spirit to talk to, but I immediately say confer in the spirit, because when you begin to cast all your care upon him, what you need to seek, feel, and discern should at some point in time come to you. That's going to help you maneuver, handle, and deal with these situations that are challenges that will oppose you. Always remember that the enemy is walking about the earth, and he has dominion to try to destroy God's creation, which is us. And he wants you to be so unattached to your spirit man and so unattached to God that he's going to pull every trick of the trade to appeal to your flesh, that you will walk in that and not walk in the spirit. So I want you to keep those examples as we move forward into our message, into our word, into our lesson in the morning. And as you go about your walk and into your prayer life, open up that communication to him, especially when those barriers or tests are coming your way. One of the major tests that we see in the Bible was in the book of Job. And one thing that I ask that if you were able to, that you could reference that. We don't have to go through the story of Job, but I'll say that when you look into the book of Job, some amazing things come about. The first thing is that God allowed Lucifer the opportunity to test Job and to do certain things that would test his obedience to the Father. A lot of the tests in our humility that we experience in our walk with Christ is testing our obedience. It's testing our obedience in a way that will our actions bless God or do something other. Now, the one thing that we learn in the book of Job, which may or may not be to everyone else's attention, that when the sons of the morning came into the presence of the Father, Lucifer was allowed to be there. So he was, as we can remember, originally an angel in heaven. He fell from heaven because of his decision. And being able to be one of the sons of the morning showed that, hey, guess what? The Father doesn't necessarily pull back his love. He has his ways to deal with things, but he was allowed to be there. So knowing this, he was able to be there, and he gave Lucifer the opportunity because he asked, have you considered my servant Job? So from that point on, Lucifer, being, shall we say, a trial attorney at the time, and he's making stakes for man to be able to be tested and saying that, oh, you're protecting him. So guess what? He gave him the opportunity to go out and test Job. And I put this out there just to show that he received major tests. He received those tests, as we learned in his walk, to the extreme. We're not experiencing tests like Job experienced, but outside of Jesus until his death, Job had a major amount of tests that tested his humility, his obedience to God. And you know what? The Lord blessed him in the very end because of his obedience and never going against blessing God out of his mouth. So I wanted to point that out there as well. And guess what? By personal testimony, I experience just tests of my humility all the time. Presently, I work in juvenile corrections, just to point items out personally. And people at my job, knowing that I run the facility, they also know that I'm a servant in the church. And guess what? Working in juvenile corrections, I work in a kid business, you're going to have many challenges that come from your young people. In some cases, you're going to have many challenges that would even come from your staff. And for personal testimony, I say I experienced many challenges in the workforce, being the top administrator in a building, learning a new system every time that the governor changes the executive directorship or new leadership within the organization. We've made changes into our building, and we're learning new avenues of which to serve young people. Guess what? At this personal time, I have challenges with guys gaining the experience that you want them to have. There's opposition to coaching them, to finding new ways to serve our young people. Even with the new assistant administrator that I have, there's challenges there that publicly there seems to be challenges. And you all want to know that it is always a good practice that when you are an administrator and you have your assistant administrator, you guys should be joined at the hip. And presently at that time when you find that this person may not feel as though they want to do the same thing or there may be a disagreement publicly, that's a challenge to your humility. That's a challenge to how you walk when everyone knows you're a servant of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But guess what? In Him is glory. In Him is all victory. In Him, I stake my claim to life. So in my walk, especially knowing that I'm a servant, I have to be mindful of how I respond because that is going to be brought up again. Well, you're a deacon in the church. Why would you get upset and begin to banter? Or why would you get upset and begin to have these responses? I thought she was a servant of Christ. Hey, guess what? I am. But I immediately have to walk in humility, and confer in the spirit, pray to God about it, that He would give me revelation on dealing with these issues that come up in the job. And guess what? As I walk, He's going to be glorified. As I do that more and more, the response is going to come faster and faster, and I'm able to delve into the Spirit and get the things that I need and walk forward and do the things for Christ. And we're going to go back into the Scriptures just to show you what the enemy is doing. But just by personal testimony, I experience them too. I don't want to sit around and be one to preach anything and I not experience it myself, because before anybody gives the word comes to them first. And these are things that I presently experience. So I cling to knowing that Christ walked with opposition and challenges to His humility, especially to the Father, all the time. And guess what? The road that He walked was tacky, had boards in it, had obstacles all over the place, because some people just walked in the flesh. They didn't see certain things to be believers. They didn't get everything. They didn't cast their care upon the Father and know that He cared for them in return. So by personal testimony, I presently experience these things, and I resort to my word. I resort to my prayer time. I resort to the conversation with God as I drive to and from work. Guess what? Some of it helps you keep your sanity. Some of it's going to help you walk and illuminate and give the very presence and aura of Christ as you walk through your place of test, those places where the enemy is placing those obstacles right at your feet to see how you respond. And to show God, just like He did with Job, hey, this one right here, he's walking or he's not walking. What you want to do next? So the enemy is walking as a lion, and you got to know this. And as the scripture continues in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, we must be sober, vigilant, because the adversary, the devil, is walking. He's walking about the earth to see whom he may devour. And the Bible explains that he is walking as a roaring lion. So he is viciously on the attack. And remember, as I said, he has dominion over the earth to be able to do that. And we got to know and keep that in mind. That's why it's very important that we always do our best to recognize the tests that are before us. Remember, if you are firmly planted and making the Lord to allow Him to be, making the Lord to allow Him to be a lamp at your feet, guess what? Those tests that come in the road are only smaller bumps than you think, because victory is in Him and He is in you. And what He's given you is greater than he that is in the world. Amen. Amen to that. Now, what the enemy is always looking to do is create opposition to your spirit. And when he creates opposition to your spirit, he's placing you as a walk into your flesh. So as he walks about the earth as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may destroy, the only real weapon that he has is the tricks that he can play to get you to walk into the flesh. Because he already knows he's defeated, but he wants to take as many as he can with him as possible. So what can he do with you? He can create an opposition in your spirit and in your connection with the Father and create you a person that will walk in the flesh. Remember, God put skin on us to have to deal with these matters such as this. And as we learn in Galatians that our flesh and our spirit, they're contrary to one another. They want to do the opposite thing. So the enemy uses that to his advantage as he walketh about. That is what he's doing when he's walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may destroy. And he wants to know who's going to resist. He's going to resist and be in the flesh. That is his goal. Put you in your flesh, keep you walking in the flesh, have you moving forward strictly in your flesh. Because as he has you walking and moving in your flesh, guess what? You're not walking in the spirit. You're not being connected to the Father. You are having actions that are doing other than what the Father has called you to do. So keep those things in mind as you walk and as you know that the enemy is out there testing you. And this is a very, very important scripture that we're going to come back to as we walk and walk through the scripture, as we walk through the message this morning, just to know that the enemy is at work. How is he at work? What things are you doing? And it's all about testing your humility as you walk for Christ. Now, I want to point out that our young men especially are very much under siege. You know, a lot of our young men nowadays, from generation to generation, as we've come through the ages, we've become, I was probably one, not necessarily one, but trying to move into the direction myself. You know, a lot of our young men are what we would call thugged out nowadays. And the one thing we have to realize is some of the hardest people that walked with Christ, for Christ, walked with God, they were thugged out too. Just pointing out Paul and Peter. Paul and Peter were two major thugs that was in the Bible, but guess what? Their walk, which had the obstacles, being under siege, guess what? They overcame. They conferred in the matters in the spirit, and trusting and loving Christ, which was very important to them, walked them through. Amen to that. But our young men nowadays, as we go forward through the ages, the goal as the enemy's walking about is putting us in situations where we are being devoured at record paces and we are rejecting the very things that make us healthy and we are embracing the very things of the flesh that we find to be entertaining. So when it says be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about, sober is just strictly being able to see with clear mind, on clear conscience. Being vigilant is to be able to be alert. So as you walk, it's very important that as that enemy's at work out there, you have to be able to see and you have to be able to be alert to the tricks of the enemy and to the tests that are coming your way. I tell you, as a young man, and it's not to forget the young ladies as well, but being a young man, so many things came my way. As I came out of high school, I used to go to church when I was young. All these tests came in my life, and this is a bit more testimony on my part, that as I got to college, so many tricks came my way. Discovering girls, discovering all types of different substances that people say, hey, let's do this. This is going to get you messed up. This is going to make us have a good time. All those things took place, and I began to walk in the flesh, and I totally walked away from God when I partook these things. And the enemy, who may not have been all inside of me or all in my ear, he was around other people who were in my ear. And I took on and I followed and I went and did what they did. And I went about and I did the things that I thought this just made me feel good. And I wasn't walking in the spirit. I was walking in the flesh. Trust you me. And when you go there, guess what? Those acts and those things of sin, it'll hold you longer than you want to be there. And it'll put a hold on your life. And it'll even make you reject the very things of God. And remember, God had a plan for you even before you were born. He called you to be the very thing he called you to be before you even had your existence on this earth. At the foundation and the beginning of time, he had that for you. So I want you to know that the enemy is constantly working and walking to put you in a place where you're not sober, where you're not vigilant. And the trick that he has is to have you walking in your flesh. All right? Now, knowing this and knowing that the enemy has us under siege, he also has the young ladies under siege too, because he's made it cool to do certain things that we know as we're growing up we will probably never do. So our young men, our young women, they're constantly under siege. And guess what? The enemy's trick is not only to have you walking in the flesh, but when he knows he has you, he wants to create the habit in you so bad that he's getting your children and your grandchildren through the generations of your life and of their lives as well. So guess what? He sometimes is looking past you in the test that he's able to dominate the earth with to get your grandchildren to walk a certain way too. Because when they come out, they got those habits that you have when you're walking in the flesh, it's going to be harder for them to be sober-minded and to be vigilant. And guess what? Nobody who wants to walk in their flesh, nobody wants to be humble when you're trapped all up inside yourself and you're becoming prideful. You're not showing any attributes in the fruit of the Spirit as well. So if you're not humbling yourself, you're definitely going to be walking in pride at some point in time. And you're not going to be casting all your cares upon him who cares for you. And you won't be sober and you won't be vigilant. You won't see clearly and you won't be alert. You'll only be alert to the things that are entertaining to you, that are entertaining to your flesh. So what must we do? You must begin to create or maintain a healthy balance in your spirit man, in your inner man. And I say man as in for all of us. You must begin to create or maintain that balance. You must remember that, A, you are not perfect. You are not perfect. Our love walk for Christ is something that we work on every day. Paul, who wrote half, if not the majority of the New Testament, he walked and perfected his love walk, more pointedly, over 20 years. When he talks in Galatians was written almost 20 years after he came to Christ. One thing we want to look and be able to see is that none of them were perfect. They always had their past thrown into their face. So that meant they walked in imperfection at all times. But guess what? God used, and he loved to use, some messed up people. So that puts you, knowing that you're not perfect, right on the playing field to do a mighty work for Christ and to do the things that you have not done before or may not thought you had the ability to do before. Because guess what? Building your humility starts with creating or maintaining that balance in your spirit man. All right? Now, also remember that you're not perfect. So guess what? You got to be willing to do a checkup on your esteem at all times. You got to know how you feel about you and know how you project yourself to all those who are around you and in your environment. How do we do that? A, that starts in your prayer time. Ask the Lord to show you. B, you sometimes may have someone you're in contact with as a spiritual parent, your pastor, your bishop, someone you have close connections with spiritually. And guess what? That person will very much keep it real with you because they love and care about you. All right? You must also make sure that immediately you are also conferring in the spirit, especially when challenges arise. Have the Lord reveal to you your things that he has given to you. To be able to overcome the obstacles. But checking your esteem, doing a checkup on that is very important. We all should do it. Even when we have high esteem, making sure it's not too high. that we develop a conceit about ourselves that's not healthy. So doing a checkup on our esteem is very important. Remembering to check that, creating a balance in our inner man, and also knowing that we're not perfect. All right? I've had the lovely opportunity to cash in on a few things that my wife had done for me. She got me the amplified version of a study Bible, and it had featured notes and commentary by Joyce Meyer. I thank my wife very much for it. It has blessed in my life that as you go through the very same scripture in 1 Peter, going through those areas in verses 6 through 10, it helps you and gives you points that help you keep your balance. And it helps us in this amplified version with commentary by Joyce Meyer. It helps us to know that maintaining a healthy balance is very important. And some of those pointers that they gave in there, I definitely came into agreement with. And that's that knowing God created you and that he loves you. Guess what? When people challenge your humility as you walk with Christ, somewhere along the line as you receive those challenges, you're not going to be thinking about God. You're going to be thinking about yourself, and it's going to be a point where the test is going to try to put you into your flesh. You got to know God created you and that he loves you. You got to know that you got faults and weaknesses, and that, guess what, you have the ability to change because God's working in your life. And guess what, it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to be a bit-by-bit process every day. Everybody got faults. Everybody has them. And you do too. So as we go through these points and we know these things to be true, we know that God's created you. He loves you. You got faults. You got weaknesses that you really want to change. And God's working in there to work with you and help you out. And bit-by-bit is changing every day. All right. Another point that I like to point out, like yourself. You might not like everything that you do and the things that you want to change, but never, ever reject yourself. All right? Never reject yourself. Like yourself. Love yourself. You might not like everything that you do. You might do some things that you need to repent about. You might do some things that, you know, are questionable that you need to take into prayer, that you need to place before the altar and give them to God. Give them to him, because when you cast all your cares upon him, he careth for you. That's in the scripture. Now, as we go back into the scripture, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world, which means those tests are coming for everyone. Those things are happening everywhere. They're going to be experienced by everyone. But I want you to hear this, because verse 10 says it all for me. It caps everything, which is the prize of humility. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Establishes to confirm, strengthen you, and settle you. Because guess what? Those challenges are going to come. God may allow some of those challenges. That's actually going to help you and build you for something else. So guess what? As you have those challenges to your humility and your walk, guess what? As I even learned, as I heard it out of another man of God's mouth, these things that we may perceive as happening to us may turn to be for us. And those challenges to your humility could actually, in all matters, build it. It could build your humility. Because guess what? When you're sober and you're vigilant and you see these things, as these tests come more and more, because the enemy, he's walking, he's seeking whom he may devour. As those challenges come, you're going to be more prepared for them. You're going to be like a fortress of solitude for God. As these things come and happen, you're going to be able to identify. You're going to be able to deal with them. You're going to be able to call on Jesus' name, and all evil is going to flee from you. Guess what? That leads you down to the topic of discussion, glory road. And the glory is all his. It's never ours. The glory is totally his. never ours. And as we walk for Christ, as we walk and have these challenges come, remember, Christ had these challenges too. From the beginning of his ministry, the walk in the wilderness, unto his death. Even some of the most profound challenges that some of the people in the Bible experienced, Job being one of them, by one of the sons of the morning, Lucifer himself. Guess what? His walk didn't change. He didn't go and not bless the Father. He blessed the Father at all times. And he was blessed at the end. Because guess what? After you suffered a while, he's going to perfect you, confirm you, strengthen you, and settle you. He's going to get the glory through all that. He's going to get the glory through all that. And at all times, and when he gets the glory, guess what? The things manifested in you is going to come to fruition. And the work of the Father is going to come, and it's going to be, and it's going to happen. So in your walk, as the test comes to your humility, as those things happen, you got to know that those tests are going to come, but he that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. He that's in the world is going to be, guess what, challenging you, throwing little things back into your face. He's going to be put in a situation where he's going to try to get you into your flesh. And guess what? I repeat some of the same points over and over again because those are the sticking points that I want. All right? And I'm coming to a close, and I'm almost done because I know we've been at it probably for about 45 minutes now, coming close to an hour. And I'm going to turn it back over to Elder Tony very soon. But as we come down, guess what? You get victory. You get victory with the Word of God. You get victory with your testimony. You get victory in being able to witness and do all of the things that God has asked you to do. Once we know that these tests come, we want you to be able to recognize them. Because once you humble yourself and you recognize these things, you can confirm the Spirit and you can move forward and do the things that God would have you to do. You must know that you have to be sober. You have to be vigilant. You have to be able to see. You have to be alert. Because the devil is walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may destroy. Now, know that everybody's going to experience these things. But the Father, the God of all grace, who called us by the glory of his calling, he is going to perfect you, confirm you, strengthen you, settle you. And knowing that, guess what? You're going to be able to walk down and be a part of Glory Road. I'd like to thank you this morning. And I thank you for your time. I thank you for your patience with me as we have gone through the scripture in 1 Peter this morning. I thank you for your time. I pray it was a blessing to you. I'm going to turn it back over to Elder Tony. God bless.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. We'd like to just honor and thank Deacon Darian this morning for the word of the Lord. And once again, I'd like to remind you that we meet every Saturday morning from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m., 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 a.m. Central Standard Time. Again, if by chance you have a need for prayer or know someone that has a need, we ask that you forward your prayer request to askhim@minister.com. That's askhim at minister, minister.com. Or simply visit us on Facebook at Beauty for Life Founder. Once again, we'd like to thank Deacon Darian for being with us this morning. And until then, beloved, we love you. Jesus loves you more. And hopefully you will come in agreement with us again on next Saturday.
Bye. morning, good morning. And thank you again for joining us on another broadcast. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice loud in it. Today on the broadcast, we will continue our teaching with Sister, our special guest, Sister Sandy Johnson. Sister Johnson has agreed to continue our discussion on the power of prayer. This is such a powerful topic, and we have received much positive feedback from your listening audience regarding this series. So, by popular demand, we will continue our discussion on prayer and on forgiveness. Prayer is our connection with God. It is the way we communicate with the Father. In order for our prayers to be effective, we must remove those hindrances, those things that stop us from getting our breakthrough. Today, we will share key principles for an effective prayer life. My name is Denise Lewis, founder and host of DreamWorks. I want to welcome you, our listening audience, as my guest continues to share with you on the power of prayer. Before we begin our teaching, let's pray. Come, Lord, Father, we come before you this morning, seeking your face. Lord, you said, if you seek your face early, we will find you. So we seek your face right now. We ask that the sweet presence of the Holy Spirit will continue to dwell among us even now. Lord, we seek you for answers, guidance, and direction. Lord, we avail ourselves to you so that you can teach us your ways. You said, if your people who are called by your name will humble ourselves and pray, you will hear and answer our prayers and heal our lands. Lord, we hear. We ask right now that you would speak to your people through this broadcast. We ask you for a fresh anointing, a fresh revelation, and a fresh word. We touch and agree that everything that you have spoken over our lives will come to pass. Lord, we pray right now that no weapon formed against us will prosper, and every tongue that rise up against us in judgment will be condemned in the name of Jesus. I give you honor, give you glory, and give you praise right now in the name of Jesus. I pray, amen, amen, and amen. I have the privilege of having Sister Sandy Johnson on the podcast with us on the power of prayer. On the first broadcast, Sister Sandy shared how relationship with the Heavenly Father began on a spiritual foundation of prayer and intercession. And over time, she has seen and witnessed the hand of God moving through prayer. On the second broadcast, Sister Sandy shared that the spirit of unforgiveness hinders our prayer life and our relationship with the Heavenly Father. Unforgiveness cuts our spiritual growth, and it causes us of prayer to be of non-effect. Today, we will continue our discussion on the power of prayer. Good morning, Sister Sandy, and welcome back to the broadcast. Good morning, and thank you. I'm happy to be back with you and your listening audience. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I know there's so much we can share right now on prayer, but I would like to briefly touch on last week's teaching of unforgiveness. To recap, can you share what is forgiveness, or what is unforgiveness? Well, forgiveness, simply said, it is a choice. A choice we make to forgive a wrong that has been committed towards us, whether it was intentional or unintentional. It's a matter of choosing to decide that I'm going to cancel the debt that somebody has incurred towards me. It's really a debt. That's why Jesus said, you know, forgive your debtors. They owe you. You feel that they owe you something. They owe you an apology. There's something that is owed that we feel when we have been wronged. And as I said, it's a process. It's something that we discussed the last time, that it doesn't take. I mean, sometimes we can forgive more easily once we groan in Christ. Usually our first response is resentment, anger, and even busted revenge. You know that we as Christians are held to a higher standard, and instead of being reactive, which in these bodies that were shaping the sin, but saved by the power and the glory of the Holy Ghost, Jesus through the Holy Ghost, we must be more proactive than reactive. That should be our response, should be one of repentance and forgiveness. It'd be more than further along reconciliation and then acceptance, knowing that the hurt we might have incurred was unfair. Yeah. So the Bible is very clear about Christians forgiving others. And I know the model prayer that some call the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6:12-15 commands to forgive me, the forgiving of others as God has forgiven us. So it means to answer your question, forgiveness means, in so many terms, it's an emotional debt owed by that person that offended us. And when we forgive that person, it's like canceling the debt. You know, I've heard of people having something called debt cancellation, where they went back and, you know you owe X amount of dollars. And they said, wait a minute, let's get it on the books. And they had somebody has paid it or whatever, your debt canceled. That's such a good feeling. Such a good feeling. And I've heard of some serious debt cancellation.
Uh-huh.
And so through the power of prayer and knowing God, one thing you must do if you want to forgive is we've got to spend some time with the Father through Jesus and getting to know His goodness and His mercy and His grace. And as we develop our relationship with our Heavenly Father, then it's going to be easier for us to deal with those who have wronged us. When it comes to canceling the debt, I just had an example. I remember over the years, I had loaned individuals money, and as I was looking at it, I took this back, and we were making a list of all the things that, you know, the funds that you're going to have back. And I remember one time, I heard in my spirit, cancel the debt.
Mm-hmm.
I remember thinking, oh, God, that's a lot of money. To cancel the debt. You know, I had to go to those individuals, I said, don't even worry about it. You brought it up again. Oh, I haven't forgotten. So, to bring it home, that was powerful about forgiveness and forgiving that debt. Because that's what, when we do that, then we open ourselves for God to do that for us as well.
That's so true.
And then He gives back to you what they may have owed you. You know, He keeps collecting with blessings.
Mm-hmm.
In different ways, He may give that the money back to you or just bless you in some other way. And you were obedient to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So also, I was reflecting on last week's teaching, you mentioned three key principles. Can you share those principles again with our audience?
Oh, the principles about the process, dealing with the process.
But you know it's not too easy. We know it's not easy to forgive. It's not an easy task. But some of it, in order to get our minds kept right to do so, as I said, we have to seek the Father and know. We have to seek Him through Jesus. We can go boldly to the throne of grace through the name of Jesus, through the power and the authority of Jesus. If we have accepted Him as our Savior, we have accepted His forgiveness of all the stuff, all the mess, all the sins we've done in the past. And when we accept Him, we have His forgiveness. So we can go only before the throne of God and get to know Him even better. But some people can't forgive easily because they don't see that they, you know, that they have their own faults. Yeah.
They're not perfect, you know. We all are like, oh, I didn't do that to them. I don't do those kinds of things, but we do other stuff.
Okay. I get that energy, that those feelings of bitterness and resentment, because really, you know what the Bible says? Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. He's going to take care of everything. And we say, yeah. And we say, and another point when it comes to individuals who have wronged us, and we say, oh, well, I don't do that, you know, you mentioned earlier. In first turn, a friend of mine always tells me, anytime the Lord allows her to go through a situation, she turns it on herself. I mean, what am I supposed to learn from that? What am I supposed to gain? What is God trying to show me about me in this situation? Because there is a lesson. And I started doing that same exercise, and I'm finding that even, you know, a situation on your job or whatever it may be, you turn that thing inward. And you do, eventually, you say, you pick up on something that you can release to God as well and say, you know what, this is coming back to me, Holy God. I remember this situation, or I remember my emotion in this situation. So it does come right back to you, turn it inward and say, okay, Lord, why is this happening to me? What can I learn from it? Amen. That's how we grow spiritually. Yeah, because, you know, when a wrong has been inflicted upon us, someone once said that it's like a wound, that if we let it grow, it'll spread through infection. And if we leave it untreated, that is, you know, you get cut, somebody hurts you, and you just let that poison just stay there rather than releasing it. That's how unforgiveness can work. You know, you get hurt, and it just keeps on. And that's why we see today many people who are committing acts of violence, extreme acts of violence, they're dealing with hurt, pain, unforgiveness, that they just haven't been able to disperse or to, you know, to give. If they don't have a prayer life or, you know, believe in God, it's turned on society. I won't say that's the case in every case, but we're seeing not knowing God, not being able to go to them, go to Him, and dealing with the hurt. And I say them, you know, sometimes I have to remember, you know, this, we've got the Holy God in, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. God, He's one, but He is three in one. Yeah. And sometimes I'll think Him, but I mean one God, so to say. But praise be to God, we can go to Him. And we're going to see so much in the coming days, but we ourselves can be at peace if we go back over, as I mentioned earlier, that inventory of let's see, where am I, Lord? Let's go back and check, Lord, I'm coming to you. Have I truly forgiven this person? Have some things I've been, is there anything, am I holding anything? I don't want anything to get in the way of my relationship with God. I've even said, there was a time in on this walk, and folks were doing all kinds of things, because that's what the enemy wants to do, to discourage us. I just said to them, Lord, are we supposed to be spiritual doormats? Are we not supposed to come and wipe their feet on us and we just enjoy it? I said, I'm not there yet, Lord. I'm not there. But now I'm getting better at it. However, we do have a responsibility to communicate to the person that's doing that thing. Listen, you're doing this thing over and over again, and I want you to be saved in the kingdom. I don't want you to be on the other side of it. So let me make you aware of what you're doing. And they're not only doing, sometimes they're not only doing it to you, but they're doing it to others. We don't want their blood to be on our neck, and we had an opportunity to help them. And I say, this is how it has affected me. But I want you just to know that it bothers me. And we have to open up communication if at all possible. So that we're not only helping ourselves, we're helping them. And the forgiveness and just being able to have that conversation, it does something about their test. Because, you know, just going to that person and saying to that person, you know what, you said anything, you know, when you said this or when you said that. So we don't know what that person was thinking at the time, you know. So if we go to that person, the reaction may be, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't even know I did that.
Thank you.
can only do it successfully through Jesus. But the only way with the help of the Holy Spirit, and said doing it before we can do all things with us. Amen. Just pulls back the out. Thank you.